27th of June, 2019, Lucy Coleman Studio. Hi.
I'm old-fashioned.
I bet you are.
I love the moonlight.
Me too.
I love the old-fashioned things.
Yeah, they're nice, aren't they?
The sound of rain.
Yes.
Upon my windowpane.
Now you're talking.
The starry skies that April brings.
That's all right. Sing it.
This year's fancies are
what
passing
about?
Fancies, but
yeah.
Sighing sighs, holding hands, these my heart understands, I'm old-fashioned.
Say it, man.
But I don't mind it, it's
yeah.
How I want to be.
I know.
As long as you'll agree to
yeah.
Stay old-fashioned.
I will. And if you stay old-fashioned with me, you're going to love this next webcast, part two of the colonialization through camouflage. And we're going to, boom, this hour, have a person that was a living illustration of that a short time ago in my life. Where you hear Harcourt in the background enjoying the pull of his nature, and I hope it's a pull of yours to spend at least the next hour with me. This is PJ, your internet pastor. I'm just tripping with you a little bit, because I'm having the time of my life. From an album, that old feeling, he says, I'm old-fashioned. Ah, I like that. George DeLacy on the bass. Chris Flory on the guitar. And you notice there are no drums.
I'm old fashioned.
Yeah, boy.
I love the moonlight. I love the old fashioned thing.
I know you do.
Sound of rain upon my window pane. The starry skies that April
brings.
This This year's fancies
oh,
are
yeah.
passing fancies.
Oh,
the
yeah.
signs I'm holding hands. These my heart understands. I'm old fashioned, but I don't mind it. It's how I wanna be. As long as you'll agree to stay old fashioned, to stay old fashioned, to stay old fashioned with me.
Yeah, I'm old-fashioned. That's nice, nice, nice. 5 minutes, 5 minutes and 41 seconds from an album entitled That Old Feeling. That's Ben Patterson on the piano and on the vocals. Chris Florey on the guitar and George DeLacy on the bass. Featured people. Some of the finest piano jazz. Just go into Ben Patterson's website and you can rent him. And that's not an advertisement. I'm just saying that if you ever needed somebody to play the piano to really make the hair stand up on the back of your neck with his golden repertoire of American classics as well as some of the classics from the African-American community also. Thank you, Ben Patterson, for a great piece of work. Yesterday was interesting, wasn't it? And you might ask, what can today's webcast say to me that wasn't said yesterday? Well, I'll tell you. I had a conversation with a pastor friend of mine on yesterday, I should say today, because this is a webcast for tomorrow, but I'm doing it on the day, on that day. Anyhow, a pastor friend of mine called me and was asking me a question about some denominational dispensationalism, a question that had to do with historic Christian teachings within a certain denomination. And you excuse me because I'm operating a lot of things here. Okay. Anyhow, we were talking about that and the question had to do with what Baptists believe in terms of the dispensational thing. And so I told him the best that I knew historically about what they believe, but I began to infer to the fact that I don't prescribe to Baptist idealisms, any kind of denominational idealisms. As a matter of fact, to really make this part two a good section to go on from part one, he went off on me. I'm going to hell. I've lost my faith. Man, what else? That he asked me if I believe that Jesus died for my sins on the cross. And, you know, he wanted a yes, I believe it, or no, I believe it answer. I know what he wanted, but you think I'm going to give the chump what he wants? I'm smarter than them. No, there's something greater that you were trying to get out of me. You were trying to get me to make a statement that would make all the people that ever loved me to hate me. You have to realize pastors are smart in attempting to get you to break your own rules. I follow the rules of God Almighty, not some corrupt bishops in the church. Now, if they're in that church and they're not working on their hands and knees alongside of the people that they say that they are trying to assist, and what I mean by helping on being alongside of the people, that's embracing everyone in your community and allowing that community effort to work and not to manipulate them. I basically told him, what are you teaching your people? I told the man that I saw him on the internet after I watched another church. And I told the man that called me that I was really embarrassed by what you were doing. So, you see, I'm not trying to, I'm just letting you know that I'm not playing. I'm not playing. A lot of you people that listen to me that still goes to those organizations. This is John Coleman. You know me. You know I'm not going to lie to you because I love you. I will always love you. You hear me? Every one of you that's looked in my eyes and I've looked back in yours and smiled at you, I love you. Hell, I'm not ashamed to say it. Why are people ashamed to tell other people that they love them like that? Why is it? That's why the world is messed up the way it is. Let me give you an example. If I were a police captain of the unit, I'd have all my men, I'd attend every roll call, and I'd tell all the men every night before they left to go out and patrol, I said, I love you boys and girls, I love you. Y'all take care now. Take care, I love y'all. See? But what is he going to do? Going out there and get them. And then you wonder why somebody would go to the workplace and shoot them all up and do all that shit. So I'm your friend, I love you, but this pastor told me, I'm going to hell. That's what he said. He said that I have denied the faith because I didn't answer him right up front. Did Jesus die for my sins? Let me tell you something. When you go into their seminaries to get their degrees, they ask you a plethora of questions, a big list. Do you believe in the Trinity? If I had said no, I wouldn't have been in that there place. I said, of course, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, as soon as the words came out of my mouth, I didn't know what I just said. I just knew that I had better say that I believed in that if I wanted to get in that school. Now, if that's not blackmail, and that was a Christian college, okay? What do you expect me to say? No, I don't believe in that. That's foolishness. Now, do you think that they would take my dollar? Some of them would take it begrudgingly and try to put me under a degree that didn't mean too much. See, it all depends because the amount of money that you pay for the degree communicates the kind of degree that you're getting. So this man that has some of these degrees from these institutions told me that even to the fact that I was going to hell. And I had to let him know that I don't give whatever about his opinion of me and what he can do for me. Just like that. I don't care if I've been knowing you a million years. I'm telling you the truth. And you're going to try to, and listen, I tried to reason with this pastor well over an hour about his foolishness and greed and selfishness and aberrationist behavior towards the members of, if you can call that place, a church. I admonished him again to at least give them one Sunday a month off and don't take the money. Leave them something. I had the audacity to ask him how much he made a year, and he told me. I said, never in my life would I even think about. And then I said, from that thing I saw on the internet last week, what you did, and they giving you that? Man, look, let me tell you people something out there. You black folk that I love, let me tell you something. Y'all better start getting your brain back here. You better back up. You better back up. Somebody always got you bending down over an altar. Now, when I was in this church, Milford had that mess put up there. Because at the, I think it was the Anselm Episcopal Bible Church. And myself and Milford Talbot were the two leaders of that church. And he comes out of a Methodist background. So he built this altar. I said, what's that for? He said, well, the people want to come forward and pray before the preaching begins. I never heard of no ridiculous stuff like that, because I'm thinking, as a Baptist mindset, you can set your ass in the chair and pray. But no, he won't altar. I guess on the Episcopal nature, you know what that is? That's a form of tyranny, because they got you bending over, bending down. Like we can, it looked like a whipping bar to me. And so I'm thinking that some of these black folk them brought this slavery thing up and blended in the church, and is unconsciously seemed to be made as a holy altar for the people to kneel on. So you see, now that's the way my mind was looking at this, because I never knelt on that thing one time that I can recall. I don't know why I would, because it made me look like a slave, and I didn't want to look like that. But it would be men and women every Sunday lined up there, because Milford merely suggested it. Now, I'm telling you, when I saw that, I said to myself, now that is some kind of a power. But it's one that I don't use. Because, see, people can go, you can go up to some mess like that and bow down on it, bow your head and talk into that wood and cry, and your knees feel comfortable and everything, and the whole place can see you crying. Oh, she's holy. Oh, she's really repentant. No, you don't know what she's doing. She may be bent over there like that because she wanted a part of her thighs to be seen by someone else in the room. And we won't even go into that. Don't tell me about church. I know about church. And this preacher said that I'm going to hell because I turned my back. No, I'm sworn to tell you the truth about what they do. And if you don't like listening to what they do and you still attend it, that's on you. Then I've done my part, because what did God tell me to do when he called me? That's why I call myself the internet pastor. He told me to tell them the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth. Hell no, I won't go to church. That day and age is done. Because see, in some kind of way, you're going to try to connive and get me to participate in your madness. So I figured that the more I stay away, the less I would have to participate in the madness. And the more I stay away, you know, the preacher told me that I have left the faith, that I had no regard in the Christian faith, because I mentioned to him some ancient texts that predates Christianity some 900 or 1,000 years, that wrote about the same stories that's in the Bible, and he was too sunk in the fatal trance of being deceived that he thought that I was Satan incarnate speaking with him. See, I told you that first hour was just the introduction. And when you start speaking to people in your community that you know are in that deep, then you can help them. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Everybody's trying to get around the people that they want to be around, right? Well, I'm going to tell you, if I were you, I'd like to be around people like me that's going to tell you the truth, let you save your money, keep it in your pocket. Because, see, I don't want your money. I don't want nothing you can give me. You don't give me nothing, bro. You keep that for you and your babies and your woman and whatever you're doing. You keep it for you. But don't go to them places. Make them people become responsible for their own damn lives. Yeah, what that preacher told me he was making, that was about three of my incomes. three of my incomes every month coming to me. Man, you talking about living. Man, look, let me tell you something. I don't mind you going to get spiritual food. Don't misread me. Go on and get your spiritual food. Go on and get it from whomever you want to. If a male doesn't satisfy you, giving you what you need to know about God, then go to that female. But just know that the female is going to give it to you on a level a little different from a brother. Because a brother, he gonna come another way. I'm not coming at your emotional glands. I'm coming at them glands that reproduce. That's what I'm coming at. Because God wants nothing of us but the purity of His truth. From the loin of Himself. But true love for some brothers. And this kind of talk is not normative in Christian corners because it sounds too sensuous to those cats. And then when they know I speak like that of men, that I do not waste my time and power with women. They know it immediately. Because primarily men that run these churches waste a hell of a lot of their time with women. And they have to keep feeding the machine. And then, but to pretend and to say that the ancient people, because that's what I was attempting to share with him, that the ancients have carried a picture of what we call Christianity in a clear sense, and he could not bring himself to admit it. And there were two other people listening to my conversation on the phone, because in my home I always have an audience as a witness. Wow. And to hear him condemn an old friend to such a place of anguish because I'm thinking with an independent mind and for good damn reasons. And know this, when you think with that kind of independent thinking and then you try to bring someone out of the constraint of being deceived by their own religion. I love the true liberals that believe in question everything. But we never question these people that keep sucking the money out of our wallets and our hands through using guilt camouflage tactics, if you will, to deploy on us in stealth manners the most horrid of things to believe in the name of the Most High. Because they have no, how can I say it? And there is no bottom to their pit. Now, I was a pastor, and I became aware of that shortly after pastoring, and that's why I never made a lot of money, and I never had a lot of things, because I told the people, you will not do that to me. My wife worked. I should have kept my traffic officer job, because I would have been better off. And they could have kept all the money and split it up amongst the more needy in the church because Lucy and I were employable. We were willing to work. I think that's the heart of a pastor. A heart of a true pastor is one that's going to get in there and work just like the people that he speaks to every week works. And not just fly around and go to places and enjoy dinners at nice restaurants and be made to feel like he's better than anyone else. He works the hardest. Everyone knows it because he's the most talented. But I even had a conversation with this preacher and I said, why do you preachers continue to tell the people the same old stories over and over and over? And he said, because they didn't get it the first time. And then he said, why do you call them stories? I says, because they can't be real. Or why didn't the persons believe it the first time, James? Why do you keep putting that in their head like it's some kind of... And then he said to me, oh, I couldn't believe it. He said to me, you do it yourself. I had to deny that. I says, no, I've never done that. I'm rambling on like this because I am surprised that when you share with people that first hour that I did, they're going to come back at you like they're coming back at me in the second hour. But I'll never go back to that kind of, you know, if you don't think the way I'm thinking. Listen, evangelical Christianity, if you don't think the way I'm thinking, then your thinking is pagan, heathen, you're going to hell. I'm sorry. I have never told anybody that I've ever pastored, any Bible class that I've ever taught, I have never used that kind of language. God is my witness. If I did, before God, I fall humble before any of you that I've ever said that to. I don't recall in my conscious mind ever saying that. I have said in my conscious mind that I love you, that I'll always love you. I don't mind being around you, listening to you talk, seeing the way you move. I love you. I love those things about you. I don't know why. Maybe because God made me a people lover. I love people more than I love any other species of animal or anything. I love them. I don't love all of them on the same level. I'm a little biased. I love black men more than anything. I just think that they're a great breed of men. Love them. I'm not going to apologize for that. What do you love? What do you love the most? What are you willing to say to someone that you love? If a black man just heard me say that I love him tremendously, then that black man ought to be bonkers about coming to spend some time with me, because they will receive that love. That's why when I pastored a church, it was so large, and guess who it was full of? Not women, but men. See? I love men, and I draw men, and that's what black male leadership does. It draws men. Now look at the church. Look at the church today. What do those bishops in the church draw? Who do they draw? Just a handful of men who are cronies, or I should put it this way, who want to be bishop, big bishop, and the rest of them are what? Women. And so that builds the scenario. We can build something here because these women, being around very few men, because the majority of the men won't attend a place like that, they know that the construction of the mental capability, putting it together, is to bring about their demise. A true black man would never devote his entire life into that kind of organization. Upon coming to consciousness, listen to me, my brothers, sweet brothers, listen, man, come to consciousness with me here. Wake up. Wake up. That man also told me that I was under the control of a demon. Under the control of what? A demon? Oh, mercy. That's when I start using some strong language to let him know that I didn't give a rooty toot about what he thought about me, his opinions of me. Seemed like he tried to use every way possible, and this is a minister, a preacher, every way possible to insult my humanity. Wow. I mean, wow. And got a huge congregation. Huge. And these people follow that. And that's what I don't like about the American church. Because most of them are run on that basis. Yes, I still have Joseph Washington's book on black religion that was published in Beacon, or that may be Bacon. I think it's Beacon Books in 1965. Joseph Washington. And he wrote somewhere in that book, Black Religion, the utter ignorance. And I have to admit, if I had investigated, I'm serious when I think about this, because I'm, you know, I've been thinking seriously for a while. But if I had investigated the very church that I joined when I joined it, when I was 23 years old, I would have not joined it. But I did not come into the church like that. I was drug into the church by the Spirit of God. See, and for this reason, that's why in hour number two, I want to tell you that, first of all, I'm not afraid what this preacher projected, that I was going to go to hell because I left the faith. I've never left the faith. I have left off the co-signing about those things that enslaved my mind in a way that I have no way of justifying. I just can't do it. And when people start asking me a question about, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins? Wait a minute. That's what they used to try to get me to ask people when I was in Sunday school. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that he died and rose on the third day? You know, like I'm some candidate on a ministerial team that is trying to be questioned before they give him the golden ticket. When he asked me, did I believe Jesus died for my sins? I said back to him, what sin? Don't you know what sin is? And I quote it, yeah, the lack of conformity to the revealed will of God and the refusal of the creature to be related to his creator by faith. Now, what sin are you referring to? You said, did I believe that Jesus died for my sins? And then I said, I'll ask you again, what particular sin or sins, plural, are you talking about? Then he switched the script on me, because this is what the evangelicals do. See, they will flip, because he was forced to answer. He had to know of some particular sin in my life and mention it. That's what I was giving him the right to do. He avoided it altogether, switched the whole theme to something else. I'm telling you, I know these people. And when you're in that deep and you get caught by a man like me, wouldn't you think you'd say, you know what? You're right. Because that's what God called me to do. Tell them what I've told you to do. And I've been speaking with these young people, looking at these throwaway, they call them throwaway kids, you know, these 20-somethings in the inner city. Everybody thinks, oh man, why you want to hang with them dirty scumbags? And, well, what kind of dude you want in your house? And then you tell, and then you try to put that noose of religion around their neck to hone them into the same old damn stupid, superstitious questions and answers that you've been shackled by all those years. I recall once a friend of mine told me that he was pleased to hear that I got into the ministry. Well, if that guy knew what I knew now, why didn't he tug me by the sleeve and say, John, let me hip you to something, what that's all about? See, I thought that the most legitimate thing in our community at the time that I was growing up as a late teenager was a Christian man. Because a Christian man always had a nice job. His wife was always smiling. His children were well-behaved. The Christian man was what I wanted to be. That's how Christianity had affected me. I'm talking about Christianity in its purest form before greed was even seen. I'd play with the pastor's kids, whoever they were, and there was no difference between them and any other kid I'd play with. Now you can't even hang with them unless you got the same kind of iPhone they have. That is, the pastor's kids. Oh, it's a mess. And then you find yourself going to the pastor's kids' party, giving all your hard-earned cash, and so you can be on the pastor's dean's list. Oh, you really a fool now. This is almost, they got to the point of idolatrous worship of the first family. Damn, what makes them first? I don't get it. Is there something wrong with the rest of us? So it didn't take me back, because I know that if I, and the reason that I'm putting these casts up, because some people think that I've lost my faith. I haven't lost it. I've investigated it. I have investigated my faith to the degree that I have discovered that many things that a lot of people said is the law, it ain't necessarily so. And it does not bother me or annoy me to come to that understanding. And nor does that mean that I am under the jurisdiction of a demon or a satanic creature has entered into my mind and heart and calculated this weird events against an establishment that is full of braggarts and people that are taking advantage of other people, sucking the lifeblood literally out of them while they need that blood for themselves. No. Most of the pastors that listen to me that are like that wouldn't give them a week off. They wouldn't give them a day off. They wouldn't give them an hour off, because they're thinking about what's in it for them and their families and their lifestyles and how they live. Even once the preacher said, oh, you're just angry because you don't have anything. And you, I couldn't believe he said that of me. I'm never that. Jesus. Even to think that I want anything but to be a friend of a black man. Man. Oh, you don't want nothing from him. See, a true pastor, because there's two kinds of pastors. There's a true pastor and an untrue pastor. Isn't that wild? The untrue sounds like, ooh, what kind of an adjective is that? Well, let me see. What is a true pastor? A true pastor going to tell you right up front, boy, I love you. And that man going to look right back at him and say, oh, thanks, pastor. See? That's a true pastor. Now, what does an untrue pastor sound like when he greet a brother? Hey, my nigga, what's up? Well, I guess we can move on to something else. But I think you know that I'm telling you the truth. You need to eject yourself from such punishment. You don't become angry at them. You garner up enough strength to tell them that you are now thinking on your own, that you think in your own solo lane, and that you do not require them to give you permission to think this way or to think that way. Oh, I know. In our black community, we came up where the pastor always gave direction. But now, God forbid, they got people listening to T.D. Jakes. And I remember when he first got started, I was all over him. And now look at it. This man is supposed to be the black preachers of the United States. That is representation of how far we've come. Ah, I tell you, the church is going corrupt. And I have nothing against him personally as a human being, but that's not. Not only is he a modalist, but the doctrine is that, see, now you think I'm being too white. No, I'm in the mode of trying to protect you from fakery. From fakery. I can see if a man did that by trying to bring the family together and everything. Well, maybe he is bringing it together with these nursery rhymes and storytelling that he's doing with the Bible. And how he makes it work. I guess T.D. is saying, maybe he is my friend after all. Maybe he's saying, well, you know, they so messed up and they're not going to get it the real biblical way, so you got to give them something real quick to make it look like the shoe is fitting. That's where T.D. Jakes is in my mind. But I'm old-fashioned. We know that, don't we? I'm old-fashioned. We had the record start off with that. But I just thought that that was weird. That just that soon after that a person can say that about me. And it didn't make me feel sad. Like I said, there were two other people listening to the conversation. And one just said that the man that I was talking to was crazy. And the other one said, I have people in my family like that. Just like that. Just like that. You give them facts. And they can't deal with the facts. It kind of reminds me of when my friend, I hope he's still my friend. I don't know whether Dean Gocher yet listens to me. I hope that Dean yet listens. And I hope that I haven't given him a sour taste in his mouth for my opinions. But I recall Dean, and when I hung out with him, Dean would say some things at a conference. And some of the people on the conference were squeamish, and they'd want to fuss with Dean, and they'd want to contend with what he was saying. I understood perfectly what he was saying. And some of the people that he went and gave his Dioprox conferences to, they just fought and fought. And I would say to Dean, why can't they get it? It's simple. It's right in front. You know what? It can be right in front of you, right there. And all you have to do is take it. But you know what the church has done? They got this thing in the back of your mind, making you think that if you speak one iota against everything that was spoken in that place, that something is going to happen to you. If that's a fact, I don't even want to worship that kind of a God. You can have him. Because that's religion on a threat. And you don't use that kind of stuff on me. Oh, God's going to do this if you don't do that. That makes him a vindictive creature of all sorts. Think with me. Think. Use your head. It's like you've been hypnotized, some of you. And you've been so hypnotized that you can't come out of this thing. You see a man that calls himself a pastor, and you reverend, and you bowing all down and acting a fool. What you need to do is get him in a corner and say, what kind of pastor, man? See, because that's what would happen. If you were with me and you said to your friend, oh, hey, man, this is Pastor John, and you walked away, and he going to look at me and said, what kind of pastor, Pastor John? And I'm going to say, an independent thinker with good reasons. Now, he's going to have to deal with that statement, because I told him, I think independent. And I think, and I possess the best reason in the world to think this way. Because ain't nobody loving me more than I love myself. And I'm not going to have a crazy thought and have me deny my own creator. But I will deny craziness that comes my way through the fools that created the religion that I found myself in. Remember Jim Jones in Jonestown? Good example of how stupid people can be following somebody to their end or their conclusion. Now, you know, I never asked this question, but if you want to ask the question, of all those people that died in Jonestown that was duped by that fool, Jim Jones, down there, of those over 922 people, I think it was like that, how many of them went to heaven? How many of them went to hell? And how you know the hell anything about it? How you know anything? All you can say is that was mass suicide. And I'm saying that if you are in anything that causes you to lose your ability to think on your own and to make logical sense and to aim for the stars if you want to and to live your freedom without somebody running you down and talking about you because they've never experienced freedom themselves, totally chained up, tied up. I just thought that's strange. And I just finished the webcast and I got this phone call. And that's what proceeded out of it. Now, I'm not going to blame that on the devil. I'm not going to blame that on God. I'm just going to say this. My life has always run this way. Always. And I thank the God that I serve that he will always keep me well informed as to how things really are in this world. Thank you for coming to my website and join me for the next series of these interesting discussions. This is PJ saying hello.